Masechet Berachot, Perek Het Mishnah Aleph. This Perek is going to talk about all the differences between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in terms of the laws of a meal, the laws of a se'uda. And that's how the first Mishnah starts off. It says, Elu Devarim Shebin Beit Shammai uBeit Hillel baSe'uda. These are the differences between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in terms of how a meal works. Beit Shammai Omrim Mevarech Al Hayom. Beit Shammai says that when one is doing Kiddush, he first says the Beracha, recognizing the sanctity of the day, and then he blesses on the grape juice, or the wine. And then he says, Boreh Pili HaGefen, on the wine. And just to go over how we have it nowadays, so obviously this is not talking about Kiddush Hayom. This is not talking about, for example, a Shabbat daytime meal. A Shabbat daytime meal only has one beracha, only has Boreh Pili HaGefen. Granted, we have those pisukim that come beforehand. The pisukim are just coming as a minhag to praise the day and to recognize the sanctity of Shabbat, but it's a mere minhag. Technically, if one just picks up a cup of wine and says Boreh Pili HaGefen on that cup of wine, he fulfills his obligation of kiddush during the daytime. So this is obviously talking about the nighttime kiddush, where we have two berachot. We have Boreh Pili HaGefen, and we have Mekadesh HaShabbat, the second beracha. We also have Pisukim in the beginning, but those are also praises of the day. But the core of the Kiddush is the berachot. We do nowadays HaGefen, just for point of reference. We do HaGefen, then we do the Mekadesh HaShabbat. That's what we have nowadays. But Beit Shammai disagrees with that approach. Beit Shammai says when doing Kiddush, one should recognize the day first. He should first say Mekadesh HaShabbat, and then afterwards, he should say the beracha of Boreh Pili HaGefen. Beit Hillel has a different opinion, which is what we follow nowadays. He says, "Ubeit Hillel omrim mevarech al hayayin, ve'achar kach mevarech al hayom." He says, first a person should be mevarech al hayayin. He should say Boreh Pili HaGefen. That should start it all off. And then afterwards, he should be mevarech al hayom. He should recognize the sanctity of the day by saying Mekadesh HaShabbat with that beracha. The differences in opinion, the logic, the svara behind both of them, as the Bar Tanura quotes one of the reasons brought down in the Gemara, the Bar Tanura says that why does Beit Shammai say that first we have to recognize the sanctity of the day and then only do Boreh Pili HaGefen? He says just like the order of how it works. First Shabbat has to arrive, first Shabbat comes in, and only after Shabbat comes in can a person do Kiddush. So he says, just like the order of time, Shabbat arrives, then we do Kiddush. Same thing, and we bring the wine at that point. Same thing in how we do Kiddush. First we have to bring in the day, and then we can recognize Kiddush with a glass of wine right afterwards with Boreh Pili HaGefen. Beit Hillel disagrees. Beit Hillel says that really, what's the only way I can do Kiddush? If I have grape juice and wine, or in certain circumstances, bread, and that's the only allowance for me to do Kiddush. If I don't have that, there's no concept of Kiddush, midrabanan. Therefore, the only reason I'm doing Kiddush here is because I have the wine. So therefore, he says, you have to recognize the wine, and then you have, which is Boreh Pili HaGefen, and then recognize the day with Mekadesh HaShabbat. The Tosfot Yom Tov also brings down another reason that the Gemara says in terms of Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel would say, Tadir v'she'eno tadir, tadir kodem. If you have something that's common and something that's not as common, the one that's common goes first. So in terms of these two berachot, Boreh Pili HaGefen and Mekadesh HaShabbat, definitely one says Boreh Pili HaGefen more than he says Mekadesh HaShabbat. That's only once a week, Mekadesh HaShabbat, while wine and grape juice can be consumed many times during the week. So therefore, that beracha is more common.
Masechet Berachot, Perek Het, Mishnah Bet. So this Mishnah is going to be dealing with a situation of impurity, a situation of Tum'ah, which connects to Netilat Yadayim. So just a basic, broad overview of how Tum'ah works. So something becomes impure. If something is impure, it's in contact with a corpse or something of that nature, it's considered to be an Av HaTum'ah, a source of Tum'ah on a De'oraita level. And on a De'oraita level, as that has contact with other things, it goes down a level. It becomes a Rishon LaTum'ah, a Sheni LaTum'ah, a Shlishi LaTum'ah, a first, a second, and third to Tum'ah, separated from the Av HaTum'ah, from the original source of Tum'ah. And as one item touches another,
they make things impure on a limited basis as we decrease in if it's from as we decrease from the source from the avatuma, we go down levels of what it could make impure. But on the Rabbanan level, the rabbis instituted that liquids automatically, if they're in touch with any type of tum'ah, they become a rishon. So even if liquid is in touch with a shenila tum'ah, it doesn't only not remain a shenila tum'ah, but it goes up to the original level of a rishon la tum'ah. Not an avatum'ah, but the one removed, which is rishon la tum'ah. Hachamim also instituted that liquid can make a keli, can make a utensil, a shenila tum'ah. Usually on a deoraita, on a Torah level, a keli can only become a rishon la tum'ah. And if it's anything separated from that, it can't become impure. Chachamim instituted that if liquid, which is impure, touches a keli, it can make it a sheni la tum'ah. They also, a third mention of a derabanan of the Chachamim with tum'ah, is they said that everybody's hands are automatically considered to be a sheni la tum'ah, a second removal from the avat tum'ah. Midrabanan, technically on a Torah level, either your whole body is tameh or your whole body is not tameh. The rabbis instituted that your hands alone, not going to get into the specifics now of why, the hands alone are automatically considered to be a shini la tum'ah, and therefore we have to do netilat yadayim. We have to do netilat yadayim because in order to make sure that people got in the good habits of doing netilat yadayim, so the kohanim didn't make tirumah impure by touching it. So therefore, everybody has to do netilat yadayim whenever they're eating bread. That's a basic overview of tum'ah. So now to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Beit Shammai omrim, notlin layadayim ve'ahar kach mozgin et hakos. Beit Shammai says, first a person washes his hands in netilat yadayim, then he pours himself the wine when he's having a meal. The logic of Beit Shammai is the following. He says that you can't drink wine by a meal and risk the liquid of the wine falling on your hand. Like we said earlier, hands are a sheni la tum'ah. They're a secondary removal of tum'ah. But if any liquid touches the hands make that liquid a rishon la tum'ah. It goes up in level midrabanan. And therefore, if you have wine that falls on someone's hands that are unwashed, which are sheni la tum'ah, and that liquid is touching the utensil, the keli, at the same time, the liquid will make the keli a sheni la tum'ah. And then you can't drink from that wine. Just one more time, what does that mean? If you're holding a cup that is, and your hands are not washed, your hands are now a sheni la tum'ah. If any wine falls on your hands, that wine, midrabanan, is now a rishon la tum'ah. And that wine, which is also touching the utensil, because you're holding with your hands the utensil, that wine now, that got impure from your hands, is making the utensil, the cup that you're holding, a sheni la tum'ah. And you can't drink from a sheni la tum'ah. So Beit Shammai would say, you have to really wash your hands in the tilat yadayim before you hold on to this cup, because we don't want to turn this cup into a sheni la tum'ah. Beit Hillel disagree. Beit Hillel omrim, Beit Hillel say, no, first you can pour the cup of wine, and afterwards you can wash netilat yadayim. They're not as nervous that some of the wine that you're pouring is going to splash onto your hands. Because they say, first of all, they disagree bedin, in law, with Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel would say, okay, there's no major issue of drinking from a utensil that's a sheni la tum'ah. They don't go crazy over that law of not drinking from a sheni la tum'ah, number one. Secondly, they're more nervous that what's going to happen, the opposite, that if a person washes netilat yadayim, he's not going to dry his hands properly. So if he doesn't have his hands dried properly, and his hands are now wet, and he goes to hold on to a keli, a utensil, and we said, Beit Hillel is not as nervous of a person using a sheni la tum'ah to drink from. So if he's having wet hands touch a sheni la tum'ah glass, now the wetness, the liquid that's on his hands from netilat yadayim is going to impurify his own hands. It's going to make his hands now again in sheni la tum'ah. And that defeats the whole purpose of netilat yadayim in the first place. So therefore, Beit Hillel would say, go pour your kos, go pour your wine
We're not as nervous that wine is going to fall over. It's no big deal to us. We're more nervous that if you do netil ayadayim beforehand, you're going to have wet hands, and those wet hands are going to impurify the entire process. Therefore, Beit Shammai would say, a person is obligated to first drink, and then he can do netil ayadayim afterwards to avoid this entire issue.